Thank you, Doc. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would. Psalms 117. We were kidding around a little bit, but we are in the midst of the summertime, and sometimes folks are taking off, and we have sent a bunch of folks off to do the work of the Lord. And I didn't really mention Suriname. They're doing good. I got a text, email, something from them anyway today, and they corresponded and let me know they have people saved this morning in their service there and just had a great day there. So again, over a thousand tracts they put out again for the church, had 100 people on that big first meeting that they had, and then had people saved in church today. What a blessing there. Psalm 117, if you have your Bibles tonight, Psalm 117, I hope you found it tonight. And the title for the tape room is Praise the Lord, and it comes right out of the text, Praise the Lord, and I'll add this to it tonight because this is where I'm going to be, that God is not a Calvinist. Praise the Lord that God is not a Calvinist. Amen. Now, I'm not going to run John Calvin down tonight because a lot of people added things to his name that I don't think he said or he did, but people have taken some things he penned down and really have taken it too far. And so tonight I'm not going to spend all my time on teaching you the 5 points of Calvin, because what would be the point of teaching you heresy? Okay? So we'll talk about the truth, amen, and we may speak a little bit about that error, that way we can discern truth from error tonight. But I want to go right from the scripture, because the word of God in chapter 117 there has some blessings for us tonight. Let's pray together and we'll dive in. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I pray that you just be with me tonight, Lord. Still my heart and my mind, Lord, I pray that you would just use me. God, the Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd just kind of speak through me tonight, God, and use me as your vessel, God. I pray that you would use the message to help foundationally remind us, Lord, that you love us, that you want to save people, even in this age, that you're coming for us. Lord, help remind us from the word of God that we ought to praise you on a daily basis for your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you for everything that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see in the scripture and read it with me tonight. And Psalm 117, verse 1, it says, Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Not a long passage of scripture, if I could say it like this, not a very long song. But I'm just going to tell you, some songs don't have to be super long to be profound or to stick in our mind or to stick into our hearts. And praise is something that is often confused in the age that we currently live in, because it's always smashed together with worship. Praise and worship is the age that we live in, and people are looking for that when they go to church. God should be praised. We should praise the Lord. We are commanded to here in the song. We're commanded throughout the scripture. Praise should be, if I could say it this way, and we could read a definition of it, but praise is an expression of our thankfulness. Praise is not a dance. It is sometimes seen by the raising of a hand. According to the scripture, it would be the raising of holy hands. There are things that I have seen people call praise and worship, and it doesn't look holy. And it doesn't look like it comes from people with holy hands. And so I just say tonight, praise is something that should be born out of a thankfulness. Even in Webster's 1828 dictionary, I encourage you to go there and read the definition of praise. But the word itself is constantly talking about praising someone who is worthy, or someone who, for actions that they have already taken in your life. In other words, when I praise someone, it's because of something, not just because they're worthy, but oftentimes it's because of good that they have bestowed on me. In church, oftentimes we say this, and we are not those that, again, every once in a while we'll have a little stir or clapping of hands when someone sings. And I was taught as a boy that you don't clap for people in church because God's here to get, we're here, we're not singing for you. All right, even though that's a good thing and we're thankful for that. And again, I don't get up and reprimand. I'm preaching and teaching tonight. So don't take this like I'm mad with you, all right? I had to be taught that myself. And for all of us, that person that's singing is singing to God. When we're in the pew, we're not singing for the person two pews ahead of us. We're singing to God. the music in the church is to get us in tune with a holy God. And for all of us, we ought to come to the place in our lives where we understand praise is about a relationship between me and God. It's not showy. It's not so that everybody else around me can see what I'm doing or hear how loud I yell, how far I stand up, how high I jump, how loud I amen. Praising God is between me and Him. I can do it deep in my soul. I can do it by raising my hand, but it's not about you. Now, I'm thankful that other people can see holy hands raised and they can hear somebody say praise the Lord, because it does affect other people when I'm thankful, when I praise. But its primary purpose should never be for someone else. It should always be primarily for the Lord. The scripture tonight says, praise the Lord, and it directs all nations of people to praise the Lord. I submit to you tonight that God the Father in heaven, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are God of all the nations of all the earth. Now, do all the nations of the earth worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? They do not tonight. But the Word of God is truth that endures forever, according to the passage of Scripture, and every nation should be directed. And for us, all of us should pray and direct every nation and every people to worship and praise the Lord. You know, we send missionaries around the world, and that gauge right there is to teach people around the world the person, the Godhead, that they should be seeking out, the one that they should understand is truth, the one that maybe they've never heard about, or when they did hear about it, their fathers rejected them, and they have embraced some other teaching or some other. Do you realize the gospel of Jesus Christ has gone around the world? There's not a corner of the planet where there are people that some people group never had a witness of Jesus Christ. According to Romans chapter 1, it's not because a missionary went there. God didn't promise everybody a missionary. God put signs and wonders in the heavens so that all men might know that He is God and that He's the Creator. And a hole inside of their heart, inside of them. Now listen, if you're not careful, you'll start listening to, you say, I believe that. Yeah, but don't be a Calvinist. I believe in missions. Do you know what I think is better than the stars in the sky? Another man that'll show up, or another lady that'll show up and give the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, let me tell you what God did for me. Let me praise the one who saved me. Let me tell you about the one who changed me from the inside out. You say, well, they can seek God. Yeah, they can seek God and look up at the stars and know that what they were born in, whatever their tribal thing was, that's not it. I just want you to understand tonight, I'm not a Calvinist, God's not a Calvinist, and you should not be a Calvinist. The primary purpose of Calvinism was to absolve men from being soul winners. Now, you may not believe that, but that's why the devil let the thing get so big. And you can quote me on that one. You say, preacher, why are you so hard against it? Because do you know who is the leading Calvinist in America today? The Southern Baptist. Do you know who is propagating the lie of Calvinism? They're not independent necessarily, but they're Baptist. And if you're not careful, guess what's permeating some of the independent Baptist colleges in America? Calvinism. You got to be careful where you send your kids. Not just to someone who's Baptist, because they're, listen folks, I'm just going to help you. Even Charles Spurgeon had this penetrate, and if you read some of his teachings, but he's someone who had enough sense to understand. He said, I believe a lot of these things, and if you and I were to go through the points of Calvin, there would be some of the things that we agree with. But how you apply those doctrines changes everything. Charles Spurgeon said about Calvin, he said all those things. He said, now, I believe that God does know, because of foreknowledge, everyone who will accept Him and everyone who will reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, but none of them have a sign on their forehead that says lost or saved, and so I will witness to every man till I find which ones will accept and which ones will reject. Calvinism, in its great error, lumps everybody in ultimatums. It throws away the opportunity of free will to accept or to reject the gospel and says that if the gospel is presented to you and God chose you before the foundation of the world, you can't help but get saved. You couldn't reject it if you wanted to. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, the gospel, you can't read this passage of Scripture or John 3:16 and listen and say that Calvinism is true. Calvinism says some people are hopelessly lost and some people are hopelessly saved. They can't help but get saved. That's error. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now that there are people in this world who have been witnessed to and they have accepted Christ. Because God, listen, I'm going to tell you, guess who God chose? The whole world. Before the foundation of the world, He chose every man to be saved. Every person on earth will have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. And they will choose what they're going to do with Him. Now, not everybody's going to get the exact same witness, and that's why Calvinism isn't true. But it's hurting soul-winning efforts. It's hurting missions. Because if people are going to get saved whether we do anything or not, then why would I give to missions? If people are going to save or if they're going to accept or reject no matter what I do, then why would I go soul winning? Why would we invite people to church? They're going to wander in. Listen, that's what Calvinism does to the world. Wouldn't it be a shame that those of us who believe the truth act like Calvinists? Those of us that know that it does matter that we witness? Doesn't it matter? Listen, how about for those of us that are, we know the truth and we believe that every man and woman that are witnessed to have an opportunity and a choice, their sins have been paid for by a holy God, and if they simply accept the finished work of Calvary on their for their sins by Jesus Christ, they could be saved. But most of them haven't had the opportunity because we don't present it. Listen, praising God, simply the witness of all to all nations, praise Him, all ye people. He takes it past nations and brings it down to people. Listen, I would say this, no one ever became a missionary before they ever became a soul winner. You got to be burdened for people before you're burdened for nations. You got to get a burden for people that people are dying and going to hell. Praise ye the Lord. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, you know, some of the greatest soul winners in all the world are people who were bold enough to praise in the street. Hey, Jesus saved me. I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Anybody want to hear about it? Come out here in the street and hear about it. You say, people, I think you're crazy. People already think we're crazy. But what they ought to realize when they get close is that we're crazy about Jesus. Amen. That we're crazy about praising someone who changed our everything. Changed our whole life. And according to this, again, gave us a new song. Praise the Lord. Listen, what song should we sing? It ought to be a song of praise. Praising God for what He's done. What I couldn't do in my sin. Listen, I don't believe a whole lot about Calvinism, but I do believe that I was totally depraved and unable to save myself, which is the first, and that's why Calvinism catches us off guard, because we start off with something that we can all get on board with, that we were hopelessly lost, and if God didn't send His Son to die on Calvary and pay our sin debt, we could not be saved. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't even go looking for God, and neither did you. If you don't believe it from the first man, Adam didn't go looking for forgiveness. God had to go looking for him. He was hiding in the bushes with all his leaves. You know where God found you? The same place He found Adam. Hiding in your sins, trying to cover it up and hope that it wasn't as bad as you thought it was. And then He drew you back into Himself. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, Adam had to accept the fact that he was a sinner and that God could save him. Or else Adam could have stayed in the bushes. You know, there's a lot of people that have chosen to stay in the bushes. Aren't you glad that Adam got back on board? Amen. He still got put out of the garden. You say, preacher, why are you getting after that? Look at his second. For His merciful kindness. You can't share and be praising of the Lord without telling people how merciful a God we serve. Do you realize that God in his mercy, it was mercy that sent God. God sent his son from heaven to die on Calvary. God didn't want you to get what you deserved. From the very beginning, from the first sin that man committed, God realized exactly to what extent judgment would have to be paid for in eternity. And in mercy, God sent his son to die for us. In mercy, God went in the garden and spoke to them. I don't believe that we praise God for his mercifulness. We all, even as God's people, sometimes think that God's looking to get us for sin when God went and paid for all your sin. He's not looking for the ones that you committed. He knew them because he paid for them all at Calvary. You don't surprise him when you serve on a daily basis. I'm not saying that he doesn't, you don't disappoint him. I'm not saying that you don't break some fellowship with him, but you don't surprise God. God never woke up one day and went, look what he did. Look what she did. Maybe with Brother Richard he does. Anyway, so I couldn't help myself, brother. I couldn't help myself. Amen. But he doesn't. God is merciful to us in his kindness. And he's, look at this, and is great toward us. So which way was his merciful kindness pointed? Toward us. It wasn't just thrown out to everybody in the sense of, let me just cast it out on all the earth. Now, all the earth will be renovated, but the earth will be renovated by what? Fire. You know what you won't face because someone else shed their blood to redeem you or renovate you or rejuvenate you or, if I could say, regenerate you? It was the blood of Jesus Christ. It was because of his mercy that it didn't have to be fire. Sometimes we miss the simple things that we find in the simple truths that it is great toward us. Merciful kindness toward all mankind, and for us that know it, why aren't we praising him? I'll just say this, you know, I've been with people that are deep theologians, and sometimes they miss the obvious stuff. Sometimes the people who are not great theologians are the ones that every time they bow their head. I have a dad who every Monday morning, I worked at a farm, and it wasn't a place where everybody had doctorate degrees. Most of them just worked with their hands. They had PhDs, but it was all about post hole diggers. And when we would be out there together, we would be in that place, and at 5 o'clock on Monday morning, you showed up to the office, and all of us stood. A man in our church who led our singing was the boss, and he would give a devotion. And if you worked for him, you came to the devotion. That's what Christian men do. And then he'd have his men pray around in the circle. And I can't tell you how many mornings I have listened to my dad pray and say, thank you for the one that died for me. Thank you for the one who came and shared the gospel with me. Listen, I'm going to tell you today, so many times we go through our day. When was the last time you thanked God for the soul winner that led you to Christ? When was the last time that you thanked God for the people that were faithful so that you could learn to be faithful? When was the last time you thanked God just for dying on the cross for your sins? Sometimes that's easier because for all of us, we forget all the things. You know, he had to die on Calvary and pay that great merciful sin debt. And I'll be honest with you, I thank God more for what he did for me than I do for all the other people that once saved, they shared the gospel. But I'm thankful. I got thinking about this and writing it down, and I started thinking, thank God that this person in my life wasn't a Calvinist. Thank God my preacher wasn't a Calvinist. Thank God my preacher sent buses to my town and cared for all the little kids because he wasn't a Calvinist. Folks, listen, we don't need to act like the Calvinists. We don't believe like the Calvinists, but we ought not act like them. We ought to keep running buses. We ought to have a burning desire to find another place that needs a bus and somebody be raised up in the bus ministry to go out and do it. You don't just take over a bus route. You got to be a part of a bus. You need to learn how to do it and watch somebody else do it and be trained up in it and then go out and do it. You say, preacher, well I don't know about this bus. We're in Florida. It's hot. Yeah. Hell's going to be hotter. Little kids that hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and want to come to church, listen, they'll ride a hot bus. You know why? Because they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and they want to come to a church, listen, where people care about them, that preach merciful kindness, that they can be saved, that they don't have to work their way to heaven, but that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. You say, preacher, why are you getting after all that? Because again, his merciful kindness is great toward us. What drives you to serve God? What burdens your soul? I really believe that most of us ought to make sure we write some things down for ourselves, because our memories aren't that good. We ought to be able to write some things down and pull that piece of paper back out and remind ourselves why we got into ministry to start with. Why we decided to be a bus captain, or why we decided to get into bus ministry. Because if we're not careful, when things start going bad or things get busy and things get going, we forget what's really important. We forget that people are dying and going to hell. We forgot that somebody else, if it hadn't have been for somebody else running a bus route, I wouldn't be here. We forget that sometimes. He says, great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. I don't know about you, but one of the greatest truths of all the Word of God is not just is God eternal, but his book is eternal. Amen. The truth of God is eternal. And it's important for us to understand, because it's the thing we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord and we're reminded on a regular basis through truth. It's the thing that we go and praise the Lord and share with people. Look at this truth. Yes, it's truth. Look at it. How could you ever look, even in the Old Testament or even through a song, how could you be a Calvinist and realize that God, praise the Lord, all ye nations? They say most nations, almost all the nations, all the nations God chose. That's not what it says. The Word of God is truth and it endureth forever, and forever the Word of God will say, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Jesus Christ was a light to light, not just Israel, but to all nations, all people. It's found here in the scripture. He goes past all nations and says, praise him, all people, all ye people. For all of us, we have a hard time sometimes with the idea that maybe that I could make a difference in someone's life. Can I just tell you that when you start serving God in the area of decades, not always been able to say this in my life, but I'm in that place where, listen, pastor used to call it all the time, clipping coupons. But I'll promise you this, if you stay faithful long enough and you invest yourselves in the cause of Christ in others, after a while, people will start walking up to you and saying, thankful for being faithful. It changed my life. Hey, can I tell you? I remember when I became a youth pastor, you know, the first person I sought out when I realized how much of a knucklehead I was when I was a teenager, was my youth pastor, and said, I am so sorry for how I was. I asked for it because, again, I was reaping what I had sowed. You say, preacher, that's a good reason for me not to serve the Lord. No. Do you know that there are other people just like you, and you more than anyone else know how to reach them because you know how someone reached you. You know how somebody else talked to you, how somebody else got your attention. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Listen, I can remember the first time I thought it was the dumbest thing. I mean, I remember the Lord. I preached a message in chapel on defend yourself against yourself, that you're your worst enemy. Went in there with Nerf guns. And the whole time I was preaching, I was trying to keep them awake, shooting at the college students. Reloading and shooting during my points. Amen. Why? Because it kept them awake. You know, they never forgot it. I remember, a decade after I forgot it, one of the teenagers said, I wanted to remind you about this message. Thank you for preaching that. It changed my life. It helped me. Listen, I don't know about you, but there are people in my elementary life that have gone on to heaven now. And the first thing that will happen when I walk into heaven is I will praise the Lord for their faithfulness. And I will walk up to them and say, your teaching in second grade changed my life. Your teaching in my sixth grade class changed my life. He says, the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Do you know what Sunday school is all about? Building truth upon truth. We were just talking about setting a Sunday school lesson on the back table before we came out. And Brother Richard talked about how long it was. I didn't write it. Anyway, so the guy that wrote it, I won't tell you his name, it's Tyler. Anyway, so, but I mean, you know, you say, well, I'm not going to be able to get all that in. Well, get all the truth you can in, because some of it will stick, and then when we teach that truth again, truth will be built upon truth. Because truth never changes. It endures forever. And it builds up in their life. And that's why we got to have a consistent Sunday school teaching them the truths of the Word of God so that they might be built up and edified as a young person in the Lord all the way through. He comes to the place where he says, it endureth forever, praise ye the Lord. All the time he's been saying, praise the Lord. Praise him, all ye nations, all ye people. But he speaks it personal. Praise ye the Lord. I want to encourage you tonight, simply this. Praise ye the Lord. Spend a week determined that you're going to praise God for the things that happen in your life. Good, bad, or indifferent, no matter what it is, realizing that God is merciful kindness. If there ever was a time, and I mean, we're praying for all kinds of people, but if you're not careful, you'll start thinking that God let bad things come into your life. Bad things come into our life because of sin. Not necessarily just our sin, but because this world is sinful. Because it's been cast in. Not every accident that people have on the road or someone's fault. That's why we call them accidents. But it's sin. There are people, listen, I'm just going to tell you, we live in a day and age, if we're not careful, we make God out that God's just crushing us and constantly trying to knock us down. When God has, from the beginning of time, sent his Son to lift us back up out of the miry clay and to set us upon a rock, a hard place, where we can be built up. A place, listen, he wants you to be in church where you can learn the scripture. You can be built up into a house that will bring honor and glory, that praises the Lord. We don't think about it, but when, you know, for me, I don't ever think about, and I almost said I'm walking into Walmart. I don't remember the last time I did that. But anyway, years ago, before you couldn't get it brought to your house, when I used to walk into Walmart with my family, it was a blessing to my life that the world could see that we were different. Because of the way we talked, the way we loved each other, the way we were dressed, they would say, you're Christians, aren't you? You say, people ask you that? Yeah, because the world can tell people who are Christ-like. And the world is consistently looking for someone to give them the truth. And you know what? Sometimes it may seem crazy, but when we're saying, praise the Lord for his goodness, praise God for what he's done for me, changed my life, you say, listen, you don't have to stand on a street corner and scream it out and for people to drive by and say, you're crazy. If you just go through this life praising God and telling everybody that God has been good to you, and in the midst, listen, do you know that there are people that go through terrible, horrific things that, again, they didn't do anything to fall into that, anything to get in that accident, but how you handle it, if you even in trouble praise the Lord for his goodness, it changes people's perspective because now they're seeing somebody, their faith is real, even in the midst of their troubles. Listen, we have a story in the Bible of Job, and Job did a pretty good job to walk and talk and say, this isn't God. Listen, he had every reason, man. He could have thought God was punishing him. But he didn't falsely accuse God. He praised him. He loved God. Now, you say, preacher, why are you getting after us tonight? I'm not getting after you. I'm trying to remind you that we believe in soul winning. We believe in investing ourselves in others because God invested everything in us by sending his Son to die on Calvary and pay our sin debt. If I were to tell you tonight, why did you get in the ministry? I didn't have a note to go back to, but I sat down and looked at my Bible. And I opened the Bible, and I had a preacher one time right there tell us about a burning and a shining light, preaching about John the Baptist. And I remember a time where I wrote in the front of that Bible, I won't let the light go out. Now, you know, I started thinking, I remember the night he preached that, and the preacher got up and said, this little light of mine. Now, we think that's funny, don't we? I'm going to let it shine. That's something that a child can do, an adult can do. But even in that, you know, people start to smile when someone starts singing, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine. Praising the Lord is so easy. It can be done in song. Tonight, the whole message was preached from a song. And most of the time, the people that realize that you're a Christian is because you got a new song. And you're singing a song that's God's song. It's a new one He put in your heart. And usually it sounds like praise to the Lord, not one of grumble and griping of the troubles and the trials of this life, but that I'm saved and I know I'm on my way to heaven. You say, preacher, as a Christian, what should I do to praise? Remind yourself of your song. You know, every couple in here, you know, that's a big deal. Everybody's got their song. Wouldn't it be great if families and couples that were in church got a song that you know is your church, it's your family's song, Christian anthem. Not one about the world or something you heard played on the jukebox, but something when it happens in church, every one of you start to look at each other and realize that's my family song. That's my song of faith. It's our song of praise. We need those things to help us get through the hard times in this life because they will come. And when they're over for you, guess what? Somebody else is going through it. And guess what they need to hear? Your song. Listen tonight, the message is this, praise ye the Lord. Have you praised Him lately? And if you haven't, why don't you do that tonight? If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, He'll save you. He chose every person to be saved. John 3:16, we didn't turn there tonight, but it said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I don't know if you remember who was the one saying that. It's red letters in your Bible. It was the only begotten Son of God that was saying that. God's the one that sent me. God sent me to die on Calvary and to pay for your sin debt. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, why don't you call on Him tonight? If you do know Him tonight, I encourage you to praise Him. If it hasn't been a while since you really praised the name of the Lord, I beg you tonight, let's get back to praising. Let's stand to our feet. Musicians are going to come, but don't wait for them tonight. If God spoke to your heart, step out and do business with Him. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you step out and come? I'll meet you right here in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven for a Bible reason, for the truth, through the truth that endures forever. As Brother Burt sings, you step out and come.